Hello and welcome. I am your host for the evening, Goblin Queen, and tonight I'm going to read stories, firsthand paranormal experiences from the website Liminal Earth. If you aren't familiar with Liminal Earth, it's a place where people submit cryptid encounters, UFO encounters, ghost encounters and hauntings, time slips, anything weird or potentially unexplainable. The experiences go all across the map, and they literally go all across the map because people can tag the location where their story took place. So, if you are watching the YouTube video version, while I'm reading the stories, I will be showing Google Street View of the location where the experience took place. And then in between the stories, we'll be taking a look at any interesting history, folklore, legend, and then for places where I can't dig up anything, I'll just share some of my thoughts on the story. So this is part of a series that I have going. Think of it as a virtual road trip. So if that sounds good to you, let's get started. This first story was submitted by Coops, and apparently is a historical account. Took place in the year 1068 in France, and it's called Vision of a Strange Man. While I was staying at the monastery of Saint-Léger at Champtoceau one night, a shriveled little man of frightening appearance approached me from the far end of my bed. As far as I could tell, he was of medium size, with a thin neck, a gaunt visage, eyes of the deepest black, with the upper part of his face furrowed and lined. His nose was pinched, his mouth was broad, and his lips were slack. His beard was like that of a goat, spreading over a sharp chin, and his ears were hairy and pointed. His hair stood on end in a confused mass, and his teeth resembled those of a dog. He had a narrow head, an inflated chest. His back was hunched over, and his thighs were quivering. He was dressed in filthy clothes, and his whole frame shook. Leaning forward, he grasped the bedhead and struck it sharply, saying, "You will not stay in this place any longer." I started awake in terror, and the apparition I have described remained with me. Grinding his teeth, he said again and again, "You will not stay in this place any longer." I jumped out of bed and ran towards the monastery, prostrating myself in front of the altar of the Blessed Father Benedict. There I lay for a long while in great terror, attempting to recollect the grave sins which I had heedlessly committed since the days of my childhood. Alright, so it says in the title that it's a historical account, and it's in quotes. Unfortunately, I have no idea what the source was. They didn't give a source, and it's probably translated from French as well, so it would be really hard for me to find. If anyone knows, let me know. I mean, I'm really curious. It's a really spooky account. Now, unfortunately, I couldn't really find any folklore or legends, just with a quick kind of search. But I did find there's like historical walks, like a walking tour that you can take in Champtoceau. Apparently they'll tell you folklore, it says. Historical walk starting at the foot of a medieval fortress, which there are ruins of a medieval citadel, overlooking the river and passing through a forest steeped in legends. So they have like a tales and legends walk that you can take, but couldn't find anything online, so guess if you want to find out, you gotta go and take the tour. Actually, that's kind of the case for this next one as well. This one took place in 2005 in Estonia and was submitted by Nil, and it's called Childhood Friend. I was watching my mother watch TV and went to the bathroom. When I returned, a being that looked like my childhood friend was in my bed. He didn't live anywhere near the place, nor did we have a sleepover that day. Then he seemingly went to the bathroom and returned a minute or so later. And then I went to the bathroom. When I returned, this being was nowhere to be found. So that's a short one. It's very brief. Creepy, though. This weird kind of doppelganger of their childhood friend. This was in 2005, so I don't know how old they were. I don't know if their childhood friend was still a child at this point. Or if it was, yeah, if they were older and they're seeing this thing that looked like their childhood friend who would have aged at this point. I don't know. Creepy, though. So this one took place in Tartu, Estonia. And like the last one, when I was looking for folklore, I was directed to this awesome walking tour and seems to go over folklore. The description of it says, this is the Tartu Ghost Tour. The girl immured in Tartu Dome Church, the Enchanted Princess, the Purple Lady of the Literature Museum, and Count von Goethe, who once lived in a fancy villa, are just some of the examples of the spirits who lurk around in the old houses and streets of Tartu. By the means of the ghost stories, they can briefly come alive again. On a walking tour down the streets of Tartu, we recount the old 19th century legends from Estonian folklore archives collections, and also contemporary ghost lore that has been collected in the present time. So that sounds awesome. I did try Googling all these things that they mentioned, and unfortunately I didn't come up with anything. And they did mention that they would be recounting legends from the Estonian Folklore Archives collections, which I did find the website for the Estonian Folklore Archive, but I couldn't find a way to access the database, which is something I would love to pour through. However, there is one local urban legend that I did get some information on, so let's take a look at that. So if you're watching the video, I'm sure you noticed. Next to the Tartu Ghost Tour, there is the Tartu Human Sausage Factory Tour, which says, on this walking tour, we focus on the rumors that were spread in Tartu after the Second World War about a human sausage factory, supposedly working somewhere in the town center. Stories about people gone missing, suspicious goods on the food market, and ruined buildings where the secret human sausage factory was believed to be located are a part of Tartu's oral history. So, I was able to find stuff about the human sausage factories. I mean, how could you not be intrigued by that? I found an essay by Estonian folklorist Mari Kuiva. It's from 1998, and it's called Bloodsuckers and Human Sausage Factories. I'm going to read just a little bit from the intro because she writes really well and kind of sets up this awesome atmosphere. Quotes, in the mid-1960s, I was a schoolgirl in a small town in central Estonia. Some of the smaller rural schools had just been closed down, so our school expanded and began to operate in two shifts. Secondary level classes were not over until 8 in the evening, so we used to go home in groups. Our way through the dark town was creepy and thrilling. On our way, we had to pass an ancient castle in ruins since the Great Northern War. Mysterious humming and indistinct sounds were often heard from behind its ditches and walls. Possibilities could not be ruled out. Ghosts, for example, or something even worse. Black cars were said to drive around Estonia to kidnap people and drain or suck all the blood from them. The drained bodies were said to be thrown by the roadside. And then they go on to introduce stories and beliefs about sausage factories. But yeah, this atmosphere of them walking home as school children at night, castle ruins with strange sounds, and they mentioned black cars. I am familiar with this. I actually really like these legends. I'm pretty sure they span Eastern Europe, but yeah, basically black cars that drive around and, kidnap people, and sometimes they are driven by nuns, like demonic nuns, sometimes Satan himself. So the human sausage factories are urban legends that really began circulating prominently, they said, between the 1940s and the 1960s. So there were adult versions and children's versions. And the adult versions, it seems like the people who were telling them really believed them and they were told factually and sometimes, like, this happened to me. And these adult stories are, quote, induced by various social tensions, lack of information, uncertainty about one's existence, just a lot that was going on during and after World War II. Let me read one or two of the examples given. This one is that typical urban legend format where it's like a friend of a friend told me. It says, quote, in Turu Street in Tartu, there was a sausage factory after the war. A friend of a friend of mine who had been in hospital in Tartu, together with a woman who had escaped from there, told me about it. She had come to Tartu with a horse and cart from the countryside to sell milk in the market. A man walked up to her and said that he would buy the whole barrel of milk if she just drove with the horse into his yard. The woman drove in through the gate, but the man closed the gate at once behind her back. The woman then understood that something was wrong and ran out through the wicket. The man then threw an axe into her shoulder, but people came to her help and took her to the hospital. Then those sausage manufacturers were caught. Here's another one that's pretty creepy. Quote, in the time of flax pulling, we went into a house to stay overnight. We were given a place to sleep on the kitchen floor. The kitchen cupboard was closed. We heard something dripping in the cupboard. The hosts all went to sleep. My mates got up and somehow managed to open the cupboard. In there, we saw a man hung up by his feet, his throat cut, put ready so that sausage could be made out of him. We quickly put on our clothes and ran away from that house in great terror. Very creepy. So she says, Mare Koiva says that in the adult tradition, these stories are told in the style of seriously believed legends. And then the children's thrillers, they're adjusted to suit the structure of, you know, a good spooky story. Something you would tell late night at a sleepover. This one kind of reminded me of something that they would use in scary stories to tell in the dark. Here's an example. Quote, a mother had a daughter. She gave her child a ring as a birthday present. Soon she sent her daughter shopping. The daughter went along an asphalt road and disappeared underground. Mother waited and waited, but her daughter didn't come. Mother went and bought some minced meat. At home, she began to fry the meat. Suddenly, she saw the same ring in the minced meat. Then she realized what had happened to her daughter. So, yeah, more fantastical elements. Mara says, people remember that adults used to tell such sausage factory stories very often, that they were believed and presented for believing. The stories made a deep impression on children. A recollection describes the narrating situation. Quote, I know it was in the 50s. I went to Tartu with my mother, and she knew a hospital assistant, and they were just building a new cinema across the river. And then she showed us several houses where sausage factories had been. They were ruins, as a rule. Anyway, that's all I'll read of that, but that's just, yeah, some good old-fashioned urban legends. Let's continue, shall we? Okay, this next story was an absolute goldmine for local interest, so we're gonna spend a lot of time in this next location, but first, we must read the story. This one took place in 2005 in Brazil, was submitted by Luisa, and it's called Red Hooded Woman. This story happened when I returned to the city of São Tomé das Letras. Me, my family, and a friend of my brother went to this city to celebrate his friend's birthday. In that city, we already knew that there were two schools, probably of magic or something like that. We don't know in detail. One of them has a golden gate, where in front there's a panther, a lion, a unicorn, and a pentagram. The other has a checkered wall, just like a castle, and has the colors red and black, which is on the way to the cave we went to visit, called the Witch's Cave. We left everything at the transit hotel as we were going to enter the cave, so cell phone, watch, everything was left. We didn't know what day it was, just that it was Friday. When we returned at dusk, we passed the red and black school where my father, to scare us, turned off the car and the headlights, and it was possible to hear a lot of music with screams of animation. When my father started the car again, we saw a very pale woman dressed in a burgundy cloak and hood, holding something we couldn't see in her hand. My mother says it was a shield, but we're not sure. She was in front of an old abandoned structure in the middle of the road. We don't know if it was a house. My father decided to stop the car next to the girl, and my brother's friend wanted to wave. He opened the window and said, "Hey, everything okay?" This woman, with an expression almost like a statue or mannequin, did not move her neck at any point, nor did she blink her eyes. We thought it was strange that she was standing there on the dirt road at around 9 p.m. My brother, my father's friends, and his family were our guide in the cave. He was in the car in front and passed along the same road, and no one who was in the car with him saw the supposed woman on the road like we did. We stood for about 2 minutes waiting for her to speak, but when we noticed her strange expression, my father accelerated the car and we left. Upon arriving at the city's typical center, we met my father's friend, where we learned that it was Friday the 13th. When asked, my father, my brother, his friend, and my father's friend's children returned to the place to see if the girl was still there, but she had gone. So before we get into anything, I do have to say that that story was submitted in Portuguese and then run through a translator, I would guess, because they have the Portuguese text and then under it, English text. So I don't know how accurate that's going to be, right? Hopefully we got the gist of the story. But from there, let's just launch into all the amazing things that I found about São Tomé das Letras. This place is absolutely thick with fascinating legends and information. First, we will address these schools of magic that the OP refers to. São Tomé das Letras is considered one of the Earth's seven energy points, similar to Sedona, Arizona. So people flock here for spiritual tourism. It's known for quartzite mines, strange rock formations, caves, all kinds of interesting and mystical things. So I couldn't find the magic school at first, the first one they mention, with the Golden Gates. I did find an Airbnb of sorts that is dedicated to spiritual development called the City of Stars. I'm sure this is one of many similar places. Honestly, I thought it sounded too fantastical to be true. This detail about this school of magic with a golden gate and all these strange statues in front of it. I really thought maybe they were embellishing the details of this statued golden gate. But wow, I found it. It's called, I'm going to butcher the Portuguese, so I'll just tell you in English. It's called Harmonia Foundation for Transcendental Arts and Knowledge. And it's about 2 miles outside of the city center down forested dirt roads. So from the city, it's slightly remote, just from the city. There's no street view on Google near the facility, but there are some photos. And the Golden Gate is exactly as the OP described, complete with statues of Pegasus and panthers perching on pentagrams. How's that for alliteration? And then on the gate, there's this star. It kind of looks like a Star of David, but it has a spiral in the center and these lines coming off it, kind of like a sun. Within the facility, there appear to be gardens, meditation spaces, murals, statues, interesting architecture, like this glass tower that has this star. Well, it's just the very top of the tower is glass, and it has this like star shape to it. The stained glass window with kind of like the, for lack of a better word, like the pyramid with the eye, like the Illuminati eye. What is that originally from? Because I feel stupid calling it the Illuminati eye. The eye of providence? The all-seeing eye. Okay, anyway. The architecture in particular calls to mind like ceremonial magic. It looks, honestly, like a really interesting place, absolutely enchanting and unique place, and each photo brings a new form of visual splendor. The link for their website doesn't seem to work, and I even ran it through the Wayback Machine. It's not archived, so can't find a website. There are 18 Google reviews, all 5 stars, except for 2, who don't give any explanation for their low rating. One of them just says that it's a horrible place and they have a lawsuit, but they don't say why. The positive reviews describe it as a place where people go to reconnect with nature and their deeper selves. And there isn't much online about it. There is no articles. There's no website. There's a Facebook page, but it looks like they just kind of post pictures. One short description found on a tourist website reads, "The Harmony Foundation for Transcendental Arts and Knowledge is a private, nonprofit entity with altruistic and humanitarian purposes. Through daily activities, its members seek physical, mental, and spiritual rebalancing towards self-knowledge and the divine." So it does remain quite mysterious. It's a toss-up. It's a hidden gem or low-profile cult. Who knows? I couldn't find the other school. I will go into why that was in a little bit. But as I mentioned earlier, the town is known for its quartzite caves. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of the reasons that gives it the status of being an energy point. One article from a local witch called it one of the chakras of the earth. Anyway, one of these caves, which it's actually more of a tunnel since it has two entrances, it's right inside the town square. It actually inspired the name of the city. The story behind it goes that a slave named Joao Antoine escaped his master and hid in this cave. A man in white robes appeared to Joao and asked what he was doing in the cave. Joao explained, and the strange man wrote a note, handed it to Joao, and instructed him to deliver it to his slave master, who would then release him. Joao did as he was told, and his master, after reading the note, went to the cave and found a carved image of Saint Thomas. He took the statue home with him, but it vanished, only to reappear back in the cave. This happened several times with the same result, until finally the slave master released Joao and built a chapel on the site of the cave. This chapel still stands to this day, and the town, called, translated, the Letters of St. Thomas, is named after this legend. Now, the cave apparently has red paintings on the walls, like pictographs, but I could not find a photo of them. Apparently, they're pretty hard to see. They are attributed to this legend as, I think, as being maybe an inscription left either by Joao or St. Thomas, but they're more likely prehistoric artwork. So it's a shame there's not good photographic documentation. I would love to see that. In her story, the OP said that they visited the Witch's Cave, which is a thing. It's one of the famous caves in this area. And this one, this is no simple tunnel. This is a quartzite cave that descends 400 meters or roughly 1,300 feet under the earth, becoming totally devoid of sunlight. And you need a guide because you have to rappel, and it's a whole thing. More power to people who can do it. I don't think I can do it. And it's not recommended for people who are claustrophobic or, aren't comfortable in that situation. So the name of this cave, the Witch's Cave, comes from the legend of a woman who was said to live in the cave and would assist local women with unwanted pregnancies. Unfortunately, that's all the information I could get on that. Near the entrance of the cave, there are some cryptic symbols and letters carved into the wall that look like something out of a spellbook. They're actually the remains left from the production of a soap opera that was filmed there in the 90s. Technically, this cave is not in São Tomé das Letras. It's considered rural São Tomé das Letras, but it's actually in a town called Luminarias. Now, I would have loved to have found the second school of magic, possibly a school of magic that the OP had described, but they said it was on the way to the Witch's Cave. I don't know exactly where they were staying in proximity to the cave, so unfortunately I did not find it. But Luminarias, the town where the Witch's Cave is located, is said by journalist Pepe Chavez as holding, quote, "a genuine repertoire of UFO sightings, legends, and a lot of natural beauty," end quote. So there's no shortage in this area of magic and mysticism, natural wonder mixed with the supernatural. I didn't even get close to mentioning everything. There's more that I found, but for now I'll move on. Okay, so that is going to be all of the exploring I think we're going to do in local areas, but I am going to read two more short stories. This next one took place in Cape Breton, or on, I should say, Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia, in the 90s. It was submitted by Sarah, and it's called Cartoon Hand. When I was a little girl, around 5 years old, I was playing outside with my brother. We were roaming the woods just beyond the tree line in my backyard. I was walking behind my brother by about 10 to 20 feet. I looked to my right and saw a white, almost cartoon-looking hand waving from side to side at me. I tried yelling out to my brother to have a look at it, but it was like I couldn't speak. No sound would come out. I think about this so often. I wish there was a way to make my brain remember it more clearly. I do remember telling my parents I saw Mickey Mouse's hand waving at me in the woods, because to 5-year-old me, every cartoon was Mickey Mouse, I guess. It had longer, thinner hands in reality, but bright white. Very weird one. If you don't know, I won't call it an obsession, an interest in disembodied hand stories, encounters, also cartoon. People seeing cartoons in real life, so this kind of combines those. So I was very excited to find this one. And yeah, when they said they saw a white, almost cartoon-looking hand, I was definitely thinking of like a big kind of Mickey Mouse kind of glove. So was it really a cartoon hand, or was it cartoonish in its size and its gesture, and it was wearing a glove, I guess? I don't know. Long, thin hands, though. And then you wonder, was there an arm? Was it just a hand by itself? I always wish I had every single detail or that I could talk to them. But it does cater to my interests, so. Very intriguing story, even though if it's brief and spare. I do really like that story. And then the next one took place in Australia in 2005. This one was submitted by Benjamin, and it's called Missing Time. I was 14. My mom and I were sitting in our car at about 7 p.m. at a red light. All of a sudden, there was a blinding white light. Next thing I know, all the businesses that were open before the flash are closed. The clock in the car says it was 12 a.m. and the roads are empty. My mom gently asked me when we got home, "What did you see?" I replied, "A very bright light." We both had the same experience. 4 years later, I developed a lump in my earlobe. When the doctor removed it, there was a piece of metal about the size of a small grain of rice. The doctor said he had never seen anything like it, but in the X-Files. So I really like that one too. I'm always really interested by missing time stories. This one definitely has that UFO abduction kind of story flavor to it, especially with the strange anomalous object in their body afterwards. So many UFO kind of stories, or stories that are attributed to UFOs or extraterrestrial abduction, are so similar to this, taking place in the car. This bright flash of light. Wild. I mean, that's a very significant time difference from 7 p.m. to 12 a.m. And I guess they're just in the same spot as they were. That's wild to think about. Like, did it feel like just a second went by? How do you even have that conversation with someone who experienced it with you? I could see it going either way. Either it's so freaky you don't even want to talk about it or acknowledge it, or you spiral into this manic conversation of trying to figure out what happens. I'm pretty happy with that episode. We went entirely international, for me at least, someone in the U.S., and found some really interesting local folklore, urban legend, history, and I think all the stories were pretty interesting too, even though they can be quite short and lacking all the details we'd like to have, but I hope you enjoyed it. If you like the format, this is part of a series of mine called Liminal Earth. There is a playlist on YouTube with all of the episodes. This is 18 or 19 at this point, so there's plenty to go back and watch or listen if you're interested. You're always welcome to share your story with me if you want, especially if it's a disembodied hand story or a cartoon story. I mean, they're all welcome. And if so, yeah, feel free to comment or you can send me an email. But thank you so, so much for tuning in. I will be back very soon with more stories. So until next time, take care and good night.